didn't forget.
That's why he's tired.
Oh, so tired. But you know, once I give the Gemara class, I start to wake up. That's the problem. Then when I get home, I won't be tired and I got to go to sleep.
We have a Thanksgiving tomorrow, so.
Sure. I got a busy day tomorrow. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam Hilchas Shabbos Perek Chof Halacha Aleph, Chapter 20, Law Number 1, in the Maznaim text. It's page 120 and 121. So yesterday, we left with a question. Can you walk in the street with a catheter bag, right? Or a colostomy bag? So I looked up in that safer again, okay. And the answer is you may, you can. However, it's preferable before you go out to empty the bag, if at all possible. And I think they also mentioned something about like closing it so nothing can go into it. Does that make sense? You can't do that. So I think it meant just to clean it out, empty it, empty it.
Make it clean.
So at least you're starting without anything that's not necessary, and then you just go on your merry way. So that is so far everything we've looked up in that area. You can end up carrying it pretty much. Okay, so
doesn't that contradict what was written about?
Because the issue is the hook over there, over here in the Rambam, was not to get your clothes dirty. It's not a question of getting your clothes dirty. It's you can't function.
It's way beyond
your clothes dirty. It's you're leaking.
It's a health issue.
You know, and you just can't go around without your control of your bladder. It's completely an open bladder as opposed to a little bit of discharge. This is everything going out so that you can't live without that. So it's a far cry from that. Okay. We're moving now on to another. It's in the same topic of carrying, and we're ending the last chapter on carrying, and we're now, we'll just go straight into it. We're not only talking about you carrying, how about your animals carrying? So the Torah says, Osir lahotzi maso al habehema b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to have your animal carry a load on Shabbos.
Can't have a Saint Bernard carrying the little drink cup.
Well, we'll see. And because why? Because there's an overall prohibition that not only your animals can't carry, your animals are not allowed to work on Shabbos. Just like you can't work on Shabbos, your animals can't work on Shabbos. Shenemar, because the Torah says, and there is the next pasuk you're going to read, there is no such pasuk. The Rambam, for some reason, is going to combine two different psukim and make it to make one clause that includes everything he wants. So he's combining two verses. What it's going to say is not all there. Leman yonuach shorcha v'chamorecha v'chol behemtecha. So that your ox, we got the chumash, just pass it on, Paul, please. I didn't realize I should have it here. Let me read you the whole pasuk over here. It's in Shmos Perikav Gimel, pasuk Yud Beis. Where there's a whole bunch of different halachas are mentioned over here. And the Torah says like this. It says, Shesh yishyomim tase masecha. For 6 days you should do what you need to do. Uveyom ha-shvi tishpos. On the seventh day you should rest. Leman yanuach. So that who will rest? Shorcha v'chamorecha. Your ox and your donkeys. The nafesh ben amoscha v'ger, and also your maidservant's son and the ger will also rest. So there, the Torah is saying you should now look at who the pasuk is saying. Shorcha v'chamorecha. The Rambam adding two words v'chol behemtecha, which is not in this pasuk. But what the Rambam is doing is combining this pasuk with another pasuk in the Ten Commandments, where it says also that should be resting. And if you look in the Ten Commandments in Parshas Yisro, Perakhov, Pasuk, the commandment on Shabbos, it says, Per Pasuk Yud, it says, you shouldn't do any work, you, your children, your servant, your maidservant, Uvehem Techa. So he's combining two verses. He's combining the verse that says that your ox and your donkey should rest. And then in the Ten Commandments, it says that, you know, it should be you shouldn't do any work, you, your children, your servant, and your animal. So now he combines the two verses together and says, so that your ox, your donkey, and your animal should rest. All right, so that's the formulation that the Rambam is getting over here.
Why do you need ox and donkey? If you had animals, wouldn't that include ox and donkey?
So there's different things that are being included. Number one, the clear one that says your animal should totally rest is the pasuk in Perichav Gimel. But there it only says shorcha v'chamorecha. He adds the word behemtecha to include even undomesticated animals and birds. Get included in behemtecha. So he wants to give you the catch-all that includes everything. Instead of saying two separate psukim, he kind of just combines into one pasuk, and that's what he says in the next line. Echad shor, doesn't matter if it's an ox, v'chamor, a donkey, v'echad kobe, or doesn't matter, any animal, even chai, even an undomesticated animal, v'of, and even a bird. So that includes all these animals, you can't do any work. They have to rest. So included in that, and we're on the topic of carrying, so your animal can't carry either. Good. Now, what happens? Vim hotzi ala behema. What if you take something out on your animal on Shabbos? Afal pishu mitzuva al shvisosa. Even though you're commanded to make sure it rests on Shabbos, and you've disregarded that, so normally, what happens when you transgress a negative commandment? You get lashes. Here, ain't a loike, you won't get lashed. It's a negative commandment. You're not letting let your animal work on Shabbos. If you were working on Shabbos, we would lash you. And your animal's not supposed to work, and we're not going to lash you. Why not? So here's an interesting rule over here. Lefishi isura ba michlal asei. Because the negative prohibition comes from the implication of a positive commandment. Now let's explain this over here. When the Torah says, thou shalt not this. So if you do it, you get lashed. You did it intentionally, there are witnesses, you get lashed. That's the rule for most lavim. So now, again, if we look carefully in the verse over here, it says, again, where were we? Chav Gimel Yud Beis. It says, let's read it carefully. It says, 6 days of the week you shall do your work, and on the seventh you should rest. Leman yanuach shorcha, so that your ox and your donkey should rest. So what's the Torah saying?
Like it's positive.
Saying it should rest. What can you imply from that? Should not work.
Right.
So for all intents and purposes, it's really a negative. It's really a negative because what the Torah really means to say is you shall not work. But the Torah didn't spell it out. So there's an interesting rule that when we have a negative commandment, you only get lashed if the Torah writes it in a negative way. If it's written in a positive way, which implies the negative. The reason why God did that was so you don't get lashes for it. Why? You have to ask God. But that's the rule. In other words, when the Torah says, thou shalt not, and you do, then you're going to get lashed.
Marcus.
When the Torah says, you should do this, and we can imply you shouldn't do that, that is what we call a lav, habo michlalase, a negative that comes from the implication of a positive. You do not get lashes for that.
Is there any question?
Well, I guess you bring a korban chatas by accident, but there's no lashes. It's, I don't know what else we can punish you. Lefikach, therefore, comes out, hamachamer, achar behemta, if you kind of are leading an animal, in other words, you direct an animal, you're not working, you direct an animal, achar behemta, you're directing after animal, b'shabbos, Vahoya lehamasun, there was a load on him. In other words, you can guide an animal. You can say, okay, boy, go this way. That's okay. But there's a load on it, so you're kind of wanting it to carry the load. Potter.
Directing the
potter. What does potter mean? Interesting. Now, normally, what does potter mean in the Rambam? Potter, but usher rabbinically. Here it doesn't mean that. Here it says you're potter from lashes. But it's usur min ha-Torah, because it is still, you've transgressed the negative, but you just don't get the lashes of the negative. Right? So it's not usur d'rabbanan. It's usur d'oraisa. Biblically, you can't do it. But we don't lash you. So the Rambam means potter, you're potter from lashes, but you still transgress the biblical commandment, and you have to do tshuva on transgressing a biblical commandment.
How? I mean, I thought you'd give lashes as part of the tshuva process.
So you have to find another way to do tshuva. Without the lashes. You don't need the lashes. But it's still an avera that would have to do tshuva.
What about benefiting from the load?
Okay, then probably not till after Shabbos or something like that. Beis. Now the Rambam is going to ask another question. It's interesting, the Rambam usually doesn't do this. He's going to ask a question to say, wait a minute. We just said you don't get lashes because it's not a direct negative. Well, there's another negative we haven't thought about. And what's that? Let's go back to the Ten Commandments. It says, V'halo lav mefarsher, isn't it an explicitly written negative? And we should get lashed, you'd ask. Shenever, it says in the Ten Commandments, lo sase kol malacha, you can't do any work. Atah you, ubincha your son, ubitecha your daughter, avdecha v'masa your servant, your maidservant, uvehem techa, and your animal cannot work. That sounds pretty negative to me. Right? So that is the question. So now this answer, the Rambam, is a little bit cryptic. And because of that, there's going to be two different interpretations to understand what the Rambam is saying over here. So he's saying that what the Torah there is saying, the negative, which would get lashed, is what? Shelo yachrish bo ukayyotze b'charisho. That you should not plow with it and be involved with the animals plowing at the same time. Whereas the Torah lashes you when you and your animal work together, you will get lashed. But not when the animal's alone, because it says you and your animal. So it's you and your animal, that's when you get lashed. But just with the animal, no. And then he adds another clause, which creates a little bit of difficulty. V'nimtzeh comes out, lav, this negative, is shenitan las horas mises besin, which can even get you punished by death. V'in lokin alav, and you don't get lashes for this. Now, there's a big discussion exactly what the Rambam means over here. But if you recall, we learned that if you do one action that carries two punishments at the same time, let's think about it. If you are plowing with an ox on Shabbos, let's break this down. What's exactly happening over here?
Plowing.
You are working, number one, on Shabbos. What happens if you work on Shabbos and there's witnesses that say you shouldn't? What's going to happen to you? You're going to get killed. On the other hand, your animal is also working, isn't it? Well, then you should get lashes, shouldn't you? But what do we say when you have two punishments coming at the same time from one activity? Come lay the rabbi minei. You give her the bigger one. And what's the bigger one over here? It's death. So now the rule is, when once you have this rule is possible, so if you do something where you're working, the animal's doing it, and you don't get the death, we have a rule that we don't even give you the lashes as well. Because since it's possible to not have the lashes at one time, we don't give you the lashes even the other time. So some commentaries say, since there's a situation where your animal will work, where you won't get the lashes because you'll get the death penalty. See, when your animal works but you don't get the death penalty, we don't give you the lashes either. That's one way of interpreting the Rambam. The other way is just saying simply that the only law was mentioned when you and the animal work together. But when an animal works separately, you would never get the malchus at all. So that's why that law is not operative. So the only one we really have operative is the negative that comes out of the positive. And for that, you don't get lashes. Okay, next halacha.
So this love is just about plowing? This whole line?
No, it could be any kind of work. It doesn't have to be plowing, but any work together, owner and cow together, that's when it happens.
That's milling.
Or donkey.
And then comes gercha. That's
what, well, or if a convert would work together with a donkey or a cow or things like that. Okay, Gimel. Now that we got this idea that you can't work an animal, now the rabbis extend the prohibitions out. Aser liyisrael lahashil o lahaskir behema gasa lenochri. A Jew is not allowed to lend or rent out a bovine animal. Right? I think that's the right word, I think. A big animal, right? That's the bovine, like the cows and the bulls. Right? That's called bovine, right? It means a gasa, a big one, as opposed to a sheep. That's what we're excluding over here. You can't lend or rent your animal, l'nachri, to a goy. Because what's going to happen? Shlo yasaba malach b'shabbos, because a goy can't do work with your animal on Shabbos. Let's think about this.
So on Wednesday, you can't give it
to him? Well, we'll see. But we're meaning to say, let's say if you're going to rent it on Wednesday. When you lend or rent an animal, it is yours. And your animal, even if it's lent or rented, cannot work on Shabbos, even though somebody else is doing it, because it's your cow.
You have to make sure.
So now you can't rent or lend to a non-Jew your cow in a situation you know it'll be in the possession of the non-Jew on Shabbos, because the animal goy will certainly work it. And for that matter, we may even stretch it even at any time, because once you've lent it out on a Wednesday, people lend it out on a Friday, and we'll lend it on the Shabbos, and it'll come out. So we have to make sure you just can't rent out your animals to a goy, or lend out to a goy, period.
Doesn't matter what part
okay.
of that.
We'll see.
You can't loan it.
Why? Because shelo yasaba malach v'shabbos. Because you shouldn't do work on Shabbos. Varehu mitzuvah al shviz v'emtan. Your commanded your animal cannot work on Shabbos. Right? So that's number one. Right? Number two, asru, more than that, asru chachamim limkor behem agas nachri. Now, to add, the next step is, you can't sell your bovine animal to a non-Jew. Why? So Rambam gives a reason, because once we would allow to sell, what could we slippery slope do? Shema Yashalo Yasker, because if we're already going to be selling to a non-Jew, we may rent or lend to a non-Jew and come back to the original problem.
So it means you can't even have a non-Jew as a shomer of your animals?
It could be a shomer chinam, or it could be a shomer socher, because they're not allowed to use the animal. But a shoel and a socher, they're being given for the non-Jew to use it. I can make my non-Jew be a shomer chinam, watch the animal, make sure it doesn't work. But if I lend it to him, that means he can use it. If I rent it to him, that means he could use it. I can't do that. Now the Gemara is going further. You can't even, Rama's going further, you can't even sell it. Wow. Even though it's going to belong to the goy. Once it belongs to the goy, that's okay. But once you're going to start getting into the selling business, you'll get into the renting business and into the lending business.
Well, there's two different transactions. It's totally different.
But the rabbis will say, if once we do one, we're afraid we're going to do the other. So now, it's not so simple. It's not so simple.
So what's the app?
Because some say that's a problem because, what do you mean? It seems to be a rabbinic on a rabbinic. Some don't like this reason, Rambam. The whole problem is rabbinic to rent out. Why can't I rent it on Wednesday? Because maybe he's going to work it on Friday. That's already a rabbinic. Right. And now you're going to tell me I can't sell it because then I can't rent it? So some people don't like that. And others say the reason is if you're going to sell an animal to a non-Jew, let's say if you can sell them, you may also sell on a Friday. If you sell on a Friday, what's one of the things you do when you sell an animal to somebody? You tell them about your animal. You assist them. You help them. You this and you that. You re-harness them, this and that. And if you're already selling, you may sell on a Friday and you may end up doing all the helping on Shabbos and may come out to doing work on Shabbos as well. Therefore, we say you should not sell. Now, very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that nowadays we do not hold this way. In the present age, now, in those days, they allowed you to sell it. On the Rambam's time, not.
Auctions.
But the socio-economic times changed. And on a simple level, people would incur incredible losses if this was enforced. And more than that, it's very uncommon for a Jew nowadays to lend or hire or rent animals to non-Jews anyway. We don't do that. We used to be, but not in the 700s. When was the last time a Jew lends a cow to a goy? The whole reason you couldn't sell it because you might lend it, right? So the reasons don't apply. And remember, it's only rabbinic and be tremendous financial hardship. So nowadays that prohibition has fallen off. So nowadays you can sell your cow to a non-Jew.
How is this different than going to the dry cleaners on Thursday afternoon and saying you only need it on Monday?
But they are going to use it.
Well, no, you can't. That, first of all, those are different halachas. We're talking about different halachas. Having a goy do work for you, these are different halachas now. There's goy doing work with your animal is one thing, and then goy doing work for you. But you can't do that either, really. I mean,
you take it in Thursday.
No, so if they don't have to do it, then they're choosing when to do the work, but they're not doing the work. Okay, I gotta sort it all out to give you the right answer. Your shirt doesn't work. It's not a cow. Right? You understand? So, okay, you can't have a goy do a job for you. Right? But that's only if I'm telling you to do the job on Shabbos. If I said, listen, you got 5 days to do the job. Okay, now, do whatever you want. I don't need to be done on Shabbos. So when he's doing Shabbos, he's doing it for himself on Shabbos.
That's what he said.
But that's not working with the garment. There's a prohibition for you to tell a goy to work for you. I'm not telling him to work for me on Shabbos. When he cleans it on Shabbos, I said, do it on Monday. I don't need you to do it on Shabbos. So the goy is working for himself when he does it.
Right.
But here when he's borrowing your cow, it's your cow. And your cow can't work on Shabbos. I don't care who's working with it on Shabbos. So your cow can't work on Shabbos. And if you gave it to the goy on Shabbos, it means you're letting him work with it on Shabbos. When I'm giving him the dry cleaning, I'm saying, I don't want you to do it on Shabbos. Do it on Monday. You want to do it on Shabbos. You're not working for me on Shabbos. You're doing it for your benefit. But he's not working the shirt. He's not working the shirt. An animal, we're working the animal. You can't have your animal work. You can have your clothes washed. There's no avera of it being washed as long as he's not washing it for me. And he's not, because I told him he could do it on Monday. He's washing it for himself. To get the job done and to make the money. I didn't ask him to do it on Shabbos. That's a clear distinction over
but
there.
But you also have a situation where you're a partner and you're selling your...
Well, that's different. Then it's not yours at all.
But I mean, when but you're here selling, you're selling the cow.
Yeah, that's the
no, the problem was if you're selling the gzera, you may lend it. There's gzeras put on over here. When you're selling your business, you're not going to lend the business. That's the difference. Okay.
You sell him the cow. He says he's going to pay you next Tuesday.
Yes, sir.
I can't afford it. I got to pay you some rent. He's doing on Shabbos.
So the reason that we can't have our cow work on Shabbos is
because the Torah says he can't. Doraisa. Doraisa.
So, but that has nothing to do with the cow's Shabbos. It's nothing to do with the neshama of the cow. Like the cow, it's not like saving the cow from any. Tircha or giving it rest or anything like that.
Let's put it like this. I was going to say, possessions of a person are the extension of a person.
Working for him.
The possessions of a person, especially live possessions. I mean, you know, people have a shtickle connection to their cow. No, it's like, you know, if you were a farmer, you know, Bessie is a part of the family. Like, it's part of the farm, you know. You have a connection. It's a living being. She milks for you. She does this. If she dies, it's a big tragedy. You know, it's not a simple thing. We're talking about your animals, right? So there is a connection. It's like an extension of you. You have to rest, and anything that's perceived as an extension of you has to rest.
But not your animal part. Like,
what?
In other words, there's nothing about the animal that needs Shabbos.
They tell the stories in the Gemara where the rabbi sold a cow to a non-Jew. They have to ask, you understand how could that be according to the Rambam. Whatever the stories were that was somebody, I forgot his name, Bartorta. I forgot the first name, Bartorta, the son of a cow, son of an ox. So what happens is he sold this Jew sold an ox to a non-Jew. And he sold it on Sunday. He worked Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The goy says Shabbos, the ox ain't getting up. The goy comes on Sunday, this is a terrible deal. What'd you do? You sold me a cow that only works 6 days. I want a cow that works 7 days. I want my money back. He says, don't worry. So the guy goes over to the cow. Listen, dear cow, when you belong to me, you couldn't work on Shabbos. But now you belong to the goy, you can work on Shabbos. Get up and work. When the goy saw that the cow understood that he's not under Jewish ownership and he worked on Shabbos, the goy converted to Yiddishkeit. And that person was called the son of an ox.
He was
called the son of an ox because he became Jewish because he learned from the ox.
Wow.
So you do see on a certain level the cow experiences Shabbos on its own level when it belongs to Jew. Because if you are resting, Rafal, your cow is a part of you and there is some kind of connection that's there. And if that cow would be working, it's like you're working a little bit. But it's a gewaltige good thing. It's a tremendous story.
I've heard people talk about their dogs, which you don't approve of, who sense that that Shabbos is different, and they behave differently.
They smell the chicken.
Yeah,
they smell the chicken.
I'll just tell you. When we were a couple of years ago in the summer, we took vacation on one of these hobby farms for a week. So it was a place, but there was also a shtickle farm there. So the lady said, you know, if you want, you could take care of the chickens. Not a lot. Take care of the chickens, feed the chickens, and this and that. So my wife, in industrial space, sure, that'd be so much fun. Get the eggs, this and that, whatever. Anyway, so then there was a couple cats hanging around. So the Shabbos afternoon, these cats are going around, and we had leftover children. So we put the children out and said, Nemzach Abdissel.
No cream, cream for them.
So the cat, listen to this, the cat has the children. And then a half early we looked, and the cat sleeping. Having a good Shabbos shlok, not the children.
It was a cat nap.
So, there's something to be said. I don't know what, but the cat, since we were renting the place for the week, it was like our cat too. All my wife, I would never do it, but my wife,
blame
what
her.
Can you do? I can't control my wife.
The cats, so
okay, anyway. Let's finish this piece of Rambam, please. We're still in Gimel. Okay. The imachar. What if you now back to the Rambam's time when you're not allowed to sell it, right? Well, what if imachar? What if you did sell it? Then koinsin, I say we find the guy. And what does that mean? We find him? We force him to buy it back from the goy. Now the goy is going to be very smart and said, "You sold me for 100. You have to buy it back. How much you want for it? 1,000." Well, we find him ad asora bidameh umachzir. He has to pay up to 10 times more to buy it back. That's how stiff we are that nobody should sell their animals on Shabbos. It goes even further. Vafilu shvura, even if you sell an animal with a bum leg. Now, obviously, in that case, this animal, even if you sell it to a goy, he ain't going to use it for working. He may use it just to slaughter it, but he isn't going to use it for working. But you still can't sell it, right? Why? Because once you sell animals with bad legs, people will sell animals with good legs, and therefore it's going to be the same problem, right? Or other konforshim say that since there are jobs it can't perform even with a bad leg, there's certain jobs it could do, so you can't even sell one with a bad leg. Also, umutar though, but all this is allowed, limkor lehem al yidei sarsur, you can use a middleman to sell for you, then it's okay. In other words, I go to the middleman and say, here's my cow, take it to the market and sell it to a goy. It's not my cow. It's my cow, but I'm not there. So you can use a middleman. Why? Shahasar sur enamaskar enamaskos. We never have middlemen renting and lending. Remember, the whole problem was I can't sell it because maybe I will rent and lend. But in the middleman business, people only use middlemen to sell and not middlemen to rent or lease. And therefore, or watch. So, or lend. So therefore, since it's not possible, those things, you can use a middleman to make sure that that happens. Okay. Yeah, question?
This 10 times fine. We have to think with the redemption of the
it's only 10%.
So I'm saying here it's so
this
much worse.
This is very happy, so they really don't want you to sell it.
900%.
Okay, everyone short. Okay, I understand some people.